Ladies and gentlemen, you will be removed by the Sergeant at Arms if you do not show respect either for or against. If you keep this up, I will have the Sergeant at Arms remove you. I will stand up, I will call you out, and I identify you, and you will be removed. So at this point, we'll now solicit comment from the public. You had a sign-in sheet that you sign in at the front from the proposed Cortland-Chicago River TIF and the proposed developer designation. There is a sign-in sheet, as I have here. When your name is called, please step to the microphone on the left side of the chambers and speak your name clearly before you begin. Please keep your comments to 3 minutes. In consideration of others who may also wish to speak, everyone who would like to make a comment will be given the opportunity. Remember to keep your comments directed to the matters at hand. If you have a written statement, we will gladly add it to the official file of the proceeding. And again, please refrain from applauding, from cheering. You will be removed if you do that. So I will call up the first group, Amy Branson, Rodrigo Descoto, Jonathan Snyder, Isabel Cabrera, Leon Bashiri, David Albany, and Melanie Milhouse. You could step up to the microphone and begin.
My name is Amy Abramson. I live in the Second Ward and have lived off Clybourne for over 20 years. I am a member of Friends of the North Branch Park and Nature Preserve. I'm testifying today because I have too many unanswered questions about the Cortland-Chicago River TIF. I'm not opposed to development or the developers. However, I question the public benefit of this TIF. Missing is a public park that any Chicagoan from north to south, east to west, could use at any time. I ask that you delay the TIF. Sterling Bay's Lincoln Yards does not offer Chicagoans public green space. It offers privately owned public space known as POPs. Cities around the world have rejected POPs as an utter failure. From the Torontoist, imagine enjoying a space thinking you're in a city public park, then suddenly have a security guard tell you to move along, or you can't lay down there, or you can't have a picnic here. This is a POPs. Chicago Tribune's Blair Kamen writes of Chicago's city acre, city front centers underperforming, underachieving, disconnected, and sometimes not even public, privately owned public spaces. We must not make this mistake again. Lincoln Yards offers 11 acres of park spaces, 6 for active use. This is less than one Oz park for a projected population of 50,000. The bare minimum needed for this density level is 30 acres of green space. For this 30 acres, Friends of the North Branch Park has advocated for an additional 24 acres from the General Iron site. This is the last large parcel left. We currently have public parks along the river about every 2 miles, from South Lawndale to Irving Park. But there's a 5-mile gap between the Riverwalk and Clark Park with no public investment. A 24-acre public park would fill this gap and create a network of riverfront parks connecting us to one another and the river. As you consider this TIF, I urge the city and Sterling Bay to work together to acquire that land for a truly public park. The North Branch Park and Nature Preserve would provide meaningful public benefit, which is so greatly needed in our city. Thank you.
All right, I don't have those kind of notes, but my name is Rodrigo Descoto. I am a neighbor to the site. I live on the west side of it. My business is just to the north. I'm a Chicago-based company. I'm a Chicago resident. And I experienced what the reconfiguration of Fullerton, Damon, and Elson did to my business, to the foot traffic, to how it affected our business. My commute to work changed from 30 minutes to 15. So as a local business and a local resident and a minority business, I've done a lot of work with Sterling Bay, two major projects, one where it's starting now, one we completed, which was the Google headquarters for the Midwest. I did it with Lynn Mathis, who's a GC, very supportive of the MBEWB program here in Chicago. And I live here. So I lived here for 15 years. They keep rechanging the ward, so I'm not sure in a, you know, every 4 years what ward I'm in. But if you don't think we need bridges across the river, and you don't think we need a river walk, and if you don't, I have four boys, and they want to go to the park. And I'm sure Sterling Bay, it sounds like they're committed to parks because we want to walk like a half a block Sterling Bay, but we get it. It's feasibility. We like to walk to the park. We like to enjoy. The boys want to be out in open space. The congestion at Armitage, Ashland, and the Metro there and all that's going on, that being diverted and improved will vastly change my experience just traveling around the neighborhood. So I'm fully supportive of the TIF, bridges, improvement in infrastructure, parks, Riverwalk. I don't know why the delay. We need it. I do use it as a shortcut, though. If anybody knows a way around, that will, I'm sure, go away. All right, thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Jonathan Snyder, and I'm the Executive Director of North Branch Works, which supports businesses in the North Branch, Addison, and Kennedy Industrial Corridors, which have produced millions of tax dollars and created thousands of jobs. We have helped businesses to thrive, and we helped connect people to meaningful, family-sustaining employment. Under different circumstances, I would be coming here today in support of a TIF district of the Cortland and Chicago River area. But as proposed, I must vehemently object to the inappropriate use of public tax dollars in furtherance of a project that will benefit the few at the expense of the many.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's refrain.
There is a need for additional public infrastructure. Bridges are burdened beyond their capacity. Roads are insufficient for the existing traffic, and additional public transit is needed. Investment is needed to strengthen the industrial corridor itself so that critical services in the district, which is zoned M3, heavy industrial usage, have access to the road networks that enable them to serve the community. There's also a need for investment in job training and skills to connect Chicago residents to existing jobs. Many would have you believe that industrial businesses are no longer viable in the North Branch area. The truth is that industrial and related businesses continue to thrive and support high-quality living wage employment that does not necessarily require an advanced degree. Instead, we are promised that $800 million of the $1.3 billion TIF will be used to improve infrastructure in support of a private development that will add 6,000 housing units. The volume of new residents in such a small area is staggering and will add to traffic woes. Even the developer's own transportation study shows an increase in wait times at various intersections after complete build-out. The downside of TIF districts is that they most readily felt in residential areas as the TIF diverts funds from ongoing maintenance and the costs to send children to school. The school district will need to make up for those costs as more families move into the area. TIF districts work when they fund non-residential improvements to manufacturing districts that do not have the same increase in costs associated with residential ones. They work when the benefits are used to help people get job training that links with existing employment opportunities. TIF works in support of economic development, not to carve out a new residential enclave from an area that has been a job creator for over 100 years. TIFs are meant to help distressed areas that have suffered from disinvestment and would not be able to attract investment but for the creation of the TIF. This proposed TIF does not meet this but-for test. The land has value and has not suffered from disinvestment. The surrounding community continues to appreciate in value. It is the project investors who will gain the most public investment on private land. If this TIF were being used in support of creation of living wage jobs, that did not require an advanced degree, then it might make sense. If it were to support existing infrastructure, it might make sense, but as proposed, it doesn't.
Hello, my name is David Alboy. I'm speaking as a nearby resident, but I am a professor of urban public and labor economics at the University of Illinois. So I have a lot of experience teaching in this area and also examining all the current research. I even have a couple grad students here who are really interested in development in Chicago. I've spent a lot of time researching public infrastructure investments throughout the country, throughout central cities, and also a lot in Chicago, especially the value of parks. So I think I have something to bring to this. And there's a lot of complicated issues. There's a lot of many opinions, and I respect where different people are coming from. I'm going to say this. I'm in support of this project as a nearby resident. In general, public infrastructure does a lot of benefits in places, even though it's very expensive, in places where people want to live. It boosts incomes, it raises property values, it accommodates a growing population. It helps existing residents, new workers, previous workers. These are the kinds of jobs of the future. The manufacturing jobs aren't really coming back despite what Trump is saying. Okay, this is the new economy, and we have to get used to it. It's not a bad thing. Okay, so let me also point out, look, there's about $1 billion in public investment, and I've looked at levels of public investment relative to private investment. There's going to be about $5 billion of private investment. That ratio is pretty sensible as far as public to private investment goes. I'm going to benefit from spillovers as a nearby resident. I've seen this infrastructure up close. It's in shoddy material. It's in shoddy condition. It's not where we really need it to be. There's also issues of affordable housing, and these are complicated and these are hard to understand. But I will tell you this. More housing in general is always good, whether it's built for high incomes or low incomes. If you create more units, you'll take pressure off the housing market. The 1% are only 1% of the population. You can put them in their glass boxes and they won't come in and displace you. They won't come and renovate old existing units. This is a good thing. And I know it's complicated and it doesn't always look right on the surface to see these shiny buildings, but they really are doing a lot for our community. We need to have better access. We want to put people close to jobs in walkable communities. This is how we're going to fight climate change. This is how we're going to reduce pollution.
Ladies and gentlemen?
I'm speaking very seriously. As somebody who studied climate change and studies transportation, I'm very dead serious about this. Okay? I'm not just speaking. I've been spending over a dozen years doing research. I've lived in San Francisco. I've seen what NIMBYism does and how it's accelerated gentrification. I've lived near Detroit, and I've seen the bad sides, too, of when a city goes bankrupt. And I'm amazed at how Chicago builds, and it's still decently affordable to people in a way most cities in America are not, and that's why I'm supporting this project.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, my name is Leone Jose Bicchieri. I'm the founding executive director of a small nonprofit, 501c3, called Working Family Solidarity. We are opposed to this project going forward. We don't understand why this can't be delayed so we can get this right. A lot of people are using a lot of statistics today, and I only have 3 minutes and a lot less now, so I'm going to leave that to other people today. I'm going to speak from 30 years of experience, the last 10 in Chicago, working with low-income folks, mainly of color. I don't believe that a developer woke up one day and said, by God, there's some horrible infrastructure, and I'm going to spend my next years making sure this city has what they need and that black and Latino and poor whites are going to get a whole bunch of employment, because that's what we're being sold today, and I don't believe it. I'm not using statistics in my talk. I'm not using statistics in my talk because there's a lot on both sides. But I've seen this, and I owe us, and I live in Pilsen, right, where most of us Latinos have been pushed out. And every time something happens, it sounds great. We're going to have Aztec symbols all over Pilsen. They love Mexico, but they don't love Mexicans, right? What we need are more proof of what's going to happen. We need more proof that there really are going to be jobs, not just for people that live nearby. I'm not sold on the access. It's a bunch of baloney. Minimally, then, let's delay. If there's some things that are going to be good, let's take a minute. Why not? If that developer came to save Chicago, take a few more minutes to save it. If that's your life's work, you're not in this for the money. Right? You're saying you're not. I just heard it. If you're in to fix all those bridges and all, let's do it right. There's no rush, right? Delay the vote, calm down, make sure all the contractors can employ all the people who need it, folks from Austin, folks from North Lawndale, folks from Little Village, right? Let's get this right. We don't have a lot of time today. I urge you, and from my experience, I'm skeptical. Let's take a minute and let's get this right. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Good afternoon. My name is Melanie Milhouse. I'm here on behalf of Milhouse Engineering and Construction. Milhouse is here in support of the Lincoln Yards development. More importantly, we're here in support of the development of our city with the use of local businesses. Milhouse is the 17th largest engineering firm in Illinois. As the largest minority engineering firm headquartered in Chicago, we can say that we previously worked with Sterling Bay and that we are currently working with them now to further our relationship on the Lincoln Yards project. With the addition of 10,000 construction jobs that is inclusive of local minority participation like Millhouse, we believe this investment will be positive effect on the Lincoln Yards, but other communities that support it through their services. As a native Chicagoan, I believe we need to have neighborhoods and infrastructure that enhances our city and hiring practices within our city that create more opportunities for all. On behalf of Millhouse, I would like to thank you for your time and consideration of our testimony.
The next group, Louisa DeRue, Thomas McElroy, Lisette Sanchez, Reverend Larry Bullock, Karen Guzner, George Blakemore, and Clarice Williams. Or Charisse Williams.
Hi there, my name is Louisa DeRue. I'm president and owner of Louisa DeRue Interior Architecture. We're a small MBEWB company, and our business tracks the compliance for the MBEWBE and 50% city residency and TIF projects. We have worked on past projects with Sterling Bay, and I can speak firsthand of their commitment to give projects to minority-owned businesses and women-owned businesses and construction projects for City of Chicago residents. We think this project would bring a lot of development and business to us, and we support it very strongly. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Thomas McElroy, Principal and CEO of Level One Global Solutions here in Chicago, and I'm here to testify on behalf of Lincoln Yards. Founded 1 week after the attacks of September 11, 2001, Level One is a certified minority-owned technology infrastructure consultancy based here in Chicago. What does that mean? Well, from the server room to the security systems, our experts design and implement and manage integrated technology strategies at scale for clients both in the public and private sector. Level One has worked in tandem with numerous partners to deliver state-of-the-art technology solutions to our clients, who have included the City of Chicago, Chicago Public Schools, United Airlines, County of Cook, etc. Both as a small business owner and a lifelong resident of Chicago, it's exciting when a development opportunity such as Lincoln Yards is conceived. It's even more invigorating when the community comes together to provide a fresh perspective of the challenges faced, as well as insight and resources needed to solve them. For example, Alderman Hopkins conducted a survey that revealed Second Ward residents wanted more green space, diverse transportation options, and to their own economic benefit. That said, the new plan from Lincoln Yards has been designed with the community in mind. It boasts such features of a metro station, water taxi stops, and 11 acres of public park space, just to name a few. In addition to beautification, the once industrial area and relieving traffic congestion, Lincoln Yards will be a catalyst for the creations of thousands of well-paying jobs. The development will require more than 10,000 construction jobs, and will create more than 24,000 permanent jobs, ensuring endless opportunities for diverse and inclusion among a vibrant workforce. Many of these jobs will be in technology. Technology infrastructure is the first level of making a development run smoothly. When a developer imagines a new high-rise or a government agency plans for a new structure, it is critical that they have and they work with a technology specialist who understands these, which is why I'm pleased to announce Level 1 has been retained to work alongside Sterling Bay and SOM as a technology infrastructure partner for Lincoln Yards. We will play a role in making sure that the infrastructure, cameras, building automation, and other systems will work to the benefit of this project and the infrastructure for this city. Thank you very much.
First of all, thank you, Mr. Chairman, for this opportunity to speak. Thank the commission members for the opportunity to speak. I remember when the Second Ward was south of Madison and south of Roosevelt Road.
Name?
So for the gentleman who spoke about the Second Ward, I'm glad to know that I'm standing in the new Second Ward here.
Can you state your
today.
Name, sir?
Larry Bullock for U.S. Minority Contractors Association. We are an advocacy and assist agency, and we are a 501c6 organization. We're proud to be here, as I said before, because we are in support of the project. Most importantly, we have 10 divisions and 6 chapters, but we're here primarily for 3 reasons. Our membership supports the project because of the corporate commitment to diversity and inclusion throughout the life of the project. And the 54 acres and $6 billion expenditure can not only drive and accelerate the Chicago economy, but scores of new businesses will be created via the council established by Sterling Bay, which is an innovative suggestion. It will enhance both workforce development and entrepreneurship. The U.S. Minority Contractor supports the project because of the real livable wage jobs being generated and offered to the indigenous residents of the Near North and surrounding communities. And finally, the U.S. Minority Contractor supports this transformative development plan because it encourages even greater local commitment and involvement in an otherwise blighted and underserved community. The project and a couple of other projects like it are directly going to benefit our city of Chicago and take us deeper into the 21st century. Someone mentioned about Amazon not going to New York. We still have an opportunity to bring Amazon to Chicago. We still have an opportunity to bring other projects of this comparable size to our city in order that we will have win-win positions for all of the stakeholders. So, Mr. Chairman and members of this committee, the U.S. Minority Contractors respectfully request your support and approval for the Lincoln Yard Development Plan, for the TIF designation plan before you today. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Good afternoon. My name is Lisette Sanchez, and I am the founder, owner, and CEO of Bright Star Networks Corporation. We are a woman, minority-owned managed service provider in IT consulting, communications, and media-related services, management services, marketing service, computer hardware and software services. As Chicago continues to do the great work of staying consistent in support of building a more vibrant city for all who live, work, and play here, it is an honor to support this community development of Lincoln Yards. As a certified minority business enterprise, Bright Star Network seeks to gain the appellation of friendship and partnering with a great developer and city council in keeping in line with the mission and vision of Sterling Bay and the City of Chicago for the state-of-the-art neighborhood transformation. I support the recommendation of the redevelopment with Cortland Chicago River Partners. I support the approval of the redevelopment plan for the proposed Lincoln Yards as a tax increment financing project area. I ask the council to approve the adoption of the tax increment financing for the area Lincoln Yards. I also ask that the council designate Lincoln Yards as a tax increment financing redevelopment project area. Bright Star Networks will provide solutions to an ever-growing problem of documenting workers responsibly for state and local compliances to the laws of the city and the state of Illinois. Chicago has some of the best talent the world has ever known, where true friendship and talent will be displayed in building Lincoln Yards. I ask that the city show its support in approval of Lincoln Yards in all its phases and completion. We are the dream team. Allow us to make this dream a reality. Thank you for your time to speak. Thank you for your consideration in involving small businesses to partner with the big business of community plan development. Thank you. I'm nervous. Thank you for the council. Thank you to the council for the tumultuous task of keeping order and maintaining the standards of excellence in building a better Chicago and even greater America. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, hold on.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you so much for the privilege of speaking to you. My name is Karen Guzner. I live in the 43rd Ward in the Park West area. You might wonder what brings me here. I first moved to Chicago in 1979 to be the startup executive director of the Chicago Association of Neighborhood Development Organizations, CANDO. And one of the most serious considerations on the table at that time was the industrial corridor, and TIFs came to the rescue. So you would wonder, why am I here in opposition to this project? When I became aware of it, the sheer density of it was appalling to me, especially given the wasteland of wards surrounding it. I am concerned that the four meetings that I've attended, the people speaking in opposition to the project have presented intensely research-based arguments to delay. The response from the organizations and the city have been, trust us. Call me an old-fashioned organizer, but when I hear trust us, what I think is, trust is what people who are kind of lazy and possibly not very smart do. I don't see any reason why, given the fact that we are about to change administrations in the city of Chicago, we should ram this through. I listened to what the alderman had to say.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. I listened to what the alderman had to say, and I'm completely unconvinced. Something of this magnitude, density, has to be thoroughly vetted. And the questions that have been raised by environmental groups and by community organizations have not been answered, and they are legitimate, frightening questions. I ask you, is this not a marvelous meeting? Is this not democracy in action? And are we not obligated to stop, take a deep breath, and vet the questions that were answered, and not just throw out numbers that, to me, sound like they were manufactured out of thin air to convince people and people who come here to speak because they clearly have a personal interest financially in the project going through. I appreciate everyone who's taken the time to speak here today and over the last several months. Let us continue the process of thoroughly vetting it. I find the project to be frighteningly dense and the public space question to be completely unanswered. Thank you so much for listening to me. Please delay.
Good afternoon. My name is Sharice Williams, and on behalf of the Chicago Federation of Labor, which represents nearly 300 local unions and labor organizations across Chicago and Cook County, who in turn represent 500,000 working men and women, and on behalf of SEIA Local 1, I'm here to encourage you and to urge you to support the Lincoln Yards development, which will create thousands of construction jobs during its development and over 24,000 permanent jobs, including but not limited to union service jobs that range from all industries in technology, law, clerical, finance, support staff, and more. Once finished, the Lincoln Yards will generate more than $38 million in annual revenue for the city of Chicago. As a result of the Lincoln Yards plan, Sterling Bay has been a thought partner and supporter in increasing workforce development within Chicago. They are partnering with the Chicago Federation of Labor and multiple community groups to increase union participation in numerous apprenticeship programs, pre-apprenticeship programs, and re-engaging non-working journeymen with a focus on recruitment in underserved neighborhoods. As many of you know, construction jobs typically carry a 5 to 7 multiplier, meaning for every one construction job that is created, 5 to 7 new jobs are created through the rest of the workforce. The Lincoln Yards plans goes beyond just construction jobs. By leveraging this $5 billion development, it will generate $4.5 billion annual economic output for the city of Chicago, generate $29 million in new revenue through the Industrial Corridor Fund, and $64 million for the North Branch Corridor Bonus Payment Program. This committee has an opportunity to make a real impact on the lives of workers throughout Chicago, and I strongly encourage you to support the Lincoln Yards plan. Thank you.
Okay, the next individuals, Cesar Santoy, Dita Bernstein, Patrick Cotter, Bren Burscheid, Jody Fraley, and Michael Lennon. I apologize if I mispronounce your name. Just to reiterate, I did call Mr. George Blakemore, so I got witnesses. Go ahead.
Good morning, Chairman Pettis and members of the commission. My name is Cesar Santoy, and I am the principal of Studio ARQ LLC, an architectural design firm located here in Chicago. I am appearing before the commission to express my enthusiastic support for Sterling Bay and the Lincoln Yards project. Studio ARQ is an MBE-certified firm located in Chicago's Pilsen neighborhood. In the 10 years since we started serving clients, the firm has grown from a one-person shop to a full-service firm with a staff of 10 dedicated and hardworking professionals. My firm is currently working on the Lincoln Yards project, and we are proud to be part of such a significant project. This project is supporting our continued growth and will allow us to expand our portfolio and develop expertise in large-scale mixed development projects. We are also confident that it can lead to other opportunities with Sterling Bay throughout the life of the development. This is a one-of-a-kind opportunity to transform an industrial corridor into a vibrant, mixed-use riverfront space benefiting residents, businesses, and visitors alike. I urge the CDC to approve this plan development and provide small firms such as Studio ARQ with the chance to work on a cutting-edge project for our city. Thank you for your time.
Good afternoon. My name is Brienne Burscheid, and I'm a resident of Chicago who supports this TIF. While tax increment financing has been criticized, no one, regardless of whether they are a member of the City Council or a community group, disputes the need for new infrastructure or investment in this area. Thanks. The reason for this is simple. We use these roads, bridges, and other public infrastructure assets daily and could detail their disrepair down to the last pothole if needed. We've been reminded about the importance of safety and investment in our infrastructure by the emergency closure of the northbound Lakeshore Drive last week as the result of a cracked I-beam. That bridge was listed in fair condition as recently as of June 2017, but Chicago's weather and density, coupled with a lack of adequate funding for our roadways, bridges, and public transit, is catching up with us. Can we honestly say the infrastructure in the Cortland-Chicago River TIF area would be better able to handle extreme temperatures or anticipated traffic in future years without rehabilitation or improvements? Without investment in blighted areas, which as a former industrial hub, the Cortland-Chicago River area absolutely is, do we expect these conditions to improve on their own? The answer is a resounding no. That's why I'm here today to speak in favor of this proposed TIF, as it will not only bring much-needed investment to this area to finance the construction of roads, bridges, and public transit, but will also do so in a way that ensures transparency and efficiency during the construction process. That's because the Chicago River TIF puts the financial risk onto developers, not taxpayers. These developers would be reimbursed for the construction of these public assets only after they've met the city's comprehensive building requirements. In other words, if they don't build it up to the city's requirements, they don't get paid. This will not only incentivize developers to perform these projects with high-quality work, but will also mean that commuters and local residents will enjoy the security and benefits of new vehicular bridges across the Chicago River, the extension of the 606, the rehabilitation of existing bridges, and the realignment of the Armitage-Ashland-Elston intersection sooner than they might under a traditional construction timeline. And because Alderman Hopkins and the Chicago Department of Planning and Development have limited the scope of what qualifies for funding under the Cortland-Chicago River TIF compared to others in Chicago, local residents can rest assured knowing this money will be used exclusively for improvements in public infrastructure. Again, there has been a lot of debate about the merits of TIFs in Chicago, but the Cortland-Chicago River TIF is an example of exactly the type of investment this city needs. I urge the Community Development Commission to approve the Cortland-Chicago River TIF.
Good afternoon. My name is Patrick Cotter. I'm here as a resident of the 32nd Ward and representing Cotter Consulting in support of the measures before you today. Cotter Consulting is a small, woman-owned business based in Chicago that specializes in project, program, and construction management. Over the last 28 years, we've built a great reputation working on high-profile, high-impact projects around the city. This development asks all those involved to dream bigger, strive for greatness, and deliver for the citizens of Chicago. One of our company's competitive strengths is our ability to attract the best talent in the industry because they want to work on projects of this caliber that will make a huge impact on the community and the entire city. A development like Lincoln Yards would feed our staff literally and inspirationally for years. There are a number of opportunities for our firm to benefit from this development. As a Phase 3 construction management firm, we could provide services on many of the road, bridge, and other infrastructure projects that would be funded by the proposed TIF, including projects on Cortland, Dominick, Southport, and Armitage. Our company's mission statement is improving lives by enhancing environments. Our staff are passionate about the work because of the positive impact every project has in the surrounding community. We view this as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for our staff and company to make a substantial contribution to the future success of the city. Thank you for your time.
Good afternoon. My name is Dita Bernstein. I'm also with Cotter Consulting, and at risk of stacking the conversation, I want to reiterate we are a woman-owned business. We are almost 100 people strong. Many of us are residents of the city of Chicago and live in surrounding wards. So my role is sustainability in public buildings, and we really are driven by our our core business has developed and been driven by our desire to serve purpose-driven clients. Now, for my purposes, that's been City of Chicago, it's been Chicago Public Schools, and it's been the sustainability sector within the city. Full disclosure, we're currently engaged as a sustainability consultant for the site team, helping them guide their way through the LEED for Neighborhood Developments process. We're really happy to have that opportunity. It's not often in a city that you get the chance to build infrastructure in a way that is going to be more resilient and take us into the future. We're really grateful for this opportunity as a company. We're passionate about our work, and we're very happy to be able to reduce the amount of resources going forward that the city will have to spend on stormwater and other issues that come around water management. And for those who have water and basement incidents, this helps control that aspect as well. I'm speaking about just one aspect of this larger development, but it does give us a chance to look broader, think bigger, think more cohesively in our development, and we're really happy about that opportunity. We look forward to being engaged in other ways, we believe that this is kind of living into our mission where we can build a better Chicago.
Good afternoon. My name is Jody Fraley. I'm an assistant director of field operations in the Chicagoland area for the Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa Foundation for Fair Contracting. We are a non-for-profit labor management organization established to support and promote fair labor practices in construction. Our organization is funded solely by contractors who are signatory to the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 150. We represent approximately 23,000 highly skilled trained men and women who perform work such as heavy highway road construction, demolition, mass earth moving concrete site utilities, etc. Local 150 has their very own U.S. Department of Labor approved apprenticeship and training program, and the men and women of Local 150 are dedicated to their craft. Sterling Bay has committed to redevelop a vast parcel of underutilized land to benefit residents, local workers, businesses, and visitors. Lincoln Yards is an opportunity to transform formal industrial site into a vibrant new development that will connect Chicagoans to over 50 acres of riverfront. Already, they have improved the site by removing over 24,000 tons of contaminated soil from the site near thousands of homes in Lincoln Park and Bucktown. As a community-driven development, Lincoln Yards offers so many benefits and construction opportunities, such as 20 acres of public space, open space, over a mile of new riverwalk with four new river crossings, 4,000 feet of new roadway, and an improvement of over a mile of existing roadway to help start relieving traffic congestion in the area, an extension of the 606 across the river, and a multimodal transit hub with a new metro station. These improvements amount to an estimated of 10,000 construction jobs over the next 10 years and 23,000 permanent jobs. Sterling Bay has committed to adhere to the principles of diversity and inclusion to exceed MBE, WBE, and local labor hiring goals. The commitment to the Chicago labor unions gives them access to a pool of the most highly trained, skilled, and productive local construction workers in the Chicagoland area. Money spent on this project will be reinvested in the community and the local economy, not only by hiring local skilled workers, but also, once completed, it's anticipated that every year Lincoln Yards will generate tens of millions of dollars in much-needed tax revenue for the city. We are very much in favor of this plan and look forward to watching this vision come to fruition. Thank you for your time.
My name is George Blakemore, and I am against this project for the reasons that I will state. Institutional racism. You're planning a development when you have economic disaster in these black neighborhoods. No economic development. And this planning and development committee, you're racist too. And those who sit on it that are black, you're not working in the black interest. And any black man or woman that come up here and say that you for this program, you for this development, you're not working in the black people's interest. How many times have I heard these developers come up and say 20% MBEs and WBEs? Have they guaranteed you 20,000 black men gonna be working here? No! And they're using your tax dollars. Why didn't you wait till this saga is over with these old aldermen and mayor and then bring it back? Why are you rushing it right now? And this ward, this second ward, is the most gerrymandering ward in the city. Look at it. It's the worst. And nobody ran against him. Why? All of these political hacks are in this together. This is a culture of corruption. Man, you get an old black man, I'm for it. It don't give me jobs. Show me on paper how many jobs are going to be black men and women working. MBEs, you can have a white woman. You can have a disadvantaged white man. And then you can have a Hispanic and no black workers, and it will be legal. So let's get a set aside that 20% of those jobs will go to people from Inglewood, Roseland, Lundale, and these devastated black areas. Put these people to work. The big issue in America is racism. Is still alive. You had a black president. Did we ever get our 40 acres and a mule? Did we ever get our... Did we get it? What? Did we get sanctuary? No. Brings in another people. That's not even legal. Don't even belong here. Illegal is against the law. Legal is within the law. Something is wrong here. Something is very wrong. We never got our reparation, and we're not going to get it with this project. All good thinking white people, Hispanic citizens, all against it.
Thank you, Mr. Blakemore. Alderwoman Smith, did you want her to say a statement?
All against it. All against it.
Mr. Blakemore.
Thank you, Mr. You. You're a racist.
Well, could you let him go? Could you get him out of here? All right, you could stay, but knock it off.